Live from the heart of Los Angeles, this is the at-home edition of the Life Changes Show. With tonight's guest, Lan Stewart of Down to Earth EcoShar, Jim Reiser, and musical guest, I Am the Trout. I am Mark Lejeur, and now our host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
I am so glad we are having this conversation on the Life Changes Show. It's a conversation, actually, we are continuing and feel like we will be continuing it in many different ways, many different times. One of the ways, for example, is just this morning I was reading an article on sleep and how important it is and what it actually does and how it starts and the circadian cycle and all that, which we haven't talked a lot about on the show. And another thing we need to talk about. But the interesting thing was that I was thinking, like, I've kind of been trashing my body by pure ignorance, like thinking, oh, I'm strong. I can make it through the day with only a couple of days sleep because I've got this to do or that to do. And so all these other things start to happen within my body that are a direct reflection of how much sleep I got or didn't get. And I was ignorant about it the whole time, thinking like, oh, I'm a warrior. I could just plow through this and I can do it. I can do it all, whatever it is. And so it's interesting because I was reading a passage in the information for our guest today, and I drew the correlation. It's like we are so disconnected in so many of us from nature, our own nature, and the nature around us, which is actually our own nature, and it is us as well. So the passage that I found really interesting is when Jim is talking about this land that we're going to be talking about and what he's learned and all of that. But he says that a thought of how our current culture was thrashing, I thought of how our current culture was trashing the earth and how this land and this project was the reality of our world. The trash was not hidden away in some impoverished country or out in the middle of the ocean. The mess was right here, right there in your face. The land was our planet with all our dirty secrets that lay bare, and its restoration would require many of the same skill sets, visions, and sheer will that it would take to bring our world back from the brink. I thought, what if we could turn this literal dump into a paradise? And from that moment on, there was no other property for him to find. And he is doing the work, has been doing the work. And we're grateful for that because I feel like we're going to learn a lot. A lot of good has already happened. And he's going to be on the show with us. That's Jim Reiser in just a couple minutes. And a little later on, music by I Am Natrell, all on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition right after this.
Have you felt inspired to meditate but you just can't? Do you suffer from anxiety, but fidget toys just make you more fidgety? Want to replace negative self-talk in your head that keeps bringing you down? Introducing the latest self-help solution, Phi Beads. Transformational beaded jewelry inspired by ancient wisdom, science, math, and psychology. All Phi Beads are designed to incorporate the powerful Fibonacci sequence, nature's mathematical formula that has shaped our existence from the beginning of time. The Fibonacci sequence, also known as the golden mean or the golden ratio, is recognized by our conscious and unconscious mind and resonates as order out of chaos, like we see in plants, flowers, seashells, ocean waves, the pyramids, and in our own body. Not only beautiful, they feel good to wear. Phi Beads can help anchor tranquility, positivity, focus, and structure in your life by doing the Phi Meditation. Phi Meditation helps you harness the power of I Am for intention, affirmation, and manifestation. Affirm the life you want. Get your set of Phi Beads at PhiBeads.com. That's Phi, P-H-I, Beads.com. You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA on the BBS Radio Network with your host, the Master of Change, Filippo Voltaggio. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com, which include luminaries such as comedian Michael Collier, actress Gabriella Wright, performing artist James Hood, and author Ken Honda. Email your comments and questions to info@lifechangesnetwork.com or askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com. You can also comment via Twitter @LifeChangesShow and Facebook @TheLifeChangesShow.
This is the at-home edition of The Life Changes Show. I am host Filippo Voltaggio online with our producer and co-host, Mark Lejeur.
Having had the opportunity to experience what is evolving and growing out at the EcoShire, I am so excited for today's conversation. I think our communities could really learn from what Jim has done, what he's doing, how the people are showing up there. There's just so much good that I think this conversation can bring forward.
Excellent. So we've titled this show The New EcoShire: Innovative, Inspired, and Sustainable. We're going to learn more about what all that means with our guest, educator and ecopreneur, land steward of Down to Earth EcoShire, and builder of intentional community, Jim Reiser. Jim, welcome to the Life Changes Show.
Thank you, Filippo. Thank you, Mark. Quite an honor.
It's a pleasure to have you on, and knowing that we're taking this moment when you're normally out there actually working the land. Actually, could you walk us through what we'll get into all the details, but what does a normal day look like for you out there?
So I'm not sure if I want to describe this morning to you because it was a little bit chaotic, but chaos is one of the things that I'm constantly juggling. Many things are, I think, I of course have lists of things that are seasonal lists of things that I'm trying to accomplish. I'm doing tree starts, for instance, right now in the greenhouse. I have greenhouse goals. I have gardening goals coming up in the end of winter for spring, irrigation goals, building goals, cleanup goals. Yet a lot of those things are dependent upon weather, and so it varies based upon the conditions quite often.
Mm. So actually, it sounds like chaotic and varies our everyday, because actually you're dealing with nature and you're also dealing with something that was in very, very poor condition when you took over. So let's actually start with that. You were looking for property when you found this, but this wasn't the one you thought you were going to take on, right?
Right. I was shopping around for a group that had assembled. We were having meetings at my house, trying to develop an intentional community. And so one of the things that was suggested that we'd read about to start an intentional community was to come up with our wish list. And after writing the wish list, it seemed that this was highly unlikely that we would find anything. But I still went out and on my quixotic quest to try to find the perfect property with, you know, mature avocado groves and swimming pools and, you know, close to the beach, still in the mountains and zip lines and you name it, and all for, you know, unreasonably cheap. Right. Didn't seem to exist in the world. And so I changed my search around for just bare property with a well. I was interested in water. I think water is one of the key. It's certainly one of the key issues here in Southern California that a lot of people are seem unaware of or oblivious to. And so water, groundwater was a key to my search. And so I looked around for a well. I wanted to see what was available, and I stumbled upon a literal dump that people had been illegally dumping here. It was kind of what I guess I'd describe as a private landfill. The county dump is about a 45-minute drive each way, and it's very inconvenient, and they don't take everything. Yet the people who had lived here realized that people would pay them money to dump here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it wasn't an official dump. It was just private property where the owners were allowing people to dump on the property for many, many decades. I believe it started somewhere around the late 1940s after World War II. Based upon the types of trash that we've discovered.
Wow.
But we also have lucked out in a way. Most of the dumping out here, because we weren't really sure what was dumped out here. So we weren't sure if there was gonna, we were going to find stumble upon something toxic. And we lucked out. Most of the things out here were things like old tires in the thousands, though. And old sofas, things that were bulky that wouldn't fit into a trash can. Or even a dumpster, like old play sets and just, you know, sofas, mattresses. Yeah. And a lot of things shot up, too. So people would also come out here and do target practice. So they'd put bottles up on the rocks and shoot them and shoot at the old trash, old TV sets and things like that.
You're looking at all that at the time, and you're seeing, like, an intentional community potential. Yes?
Yeah. that was my idea of where an intentional community should be. I learned about it and was inspired by other stories. There's a place called Auroville in India where they had taken some very ruined land and transformed it. They're about 50 years in. And I found those stories to be very, very inspiring. Is our connection okay?
Yeah, it's coming in and out, actually. But, you know, before we go on, it's a good place to ask, could you talk to us about, for those who don't know, what intentional community is?
Certainly. It is what it sounds like. I'm getting a bit of an echo. I don't know if that's
a little, yeah.
So an intentional is what it's sounds like. It's a community built around intention. What are your intentions? So you have to have some clarity. You have to know what you want in this life and build your community around that intention. For me, you were just talking about sleep and I want to mention something about dreaming. I think that my intention came from dreams. I had a very profound and moving dream many years back where I was wandering around this land, and it was full of people that I loved. It was people that I knew. It was people that I knew from long ago who have since passed, who were there celebrating with me. And it was also full of people that I didn't know, but I seemed to know in the dream. I seemed to know them very well. And so it was kind of a foreshadowing of the people that I would come in contact with. And I just remember feeling the sense of being at home. And I woke up just recalling the dream, just longing for finding this place that that was waiting for me.
Wow.
So, it was a bit of a, it's hard to talk about without getting a little teared up because it was such a moving experience.
Wow.
Thank you.
So this is a really deep thing. Like it's, your mission.
My mission is my dream. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, so what when you come upon this land, it wasn't exactly what was originally what was already in the dream. It seems like the dream had to be created. You've taken this on. What are some of the learnings you've learned about life or nature or land or people in the process?
whew, that's a lot.
Yeah.
What have I learned? Well, I've learned that we're not doing enough. As much trash as I've picked up over the last few years, out here, you know, bending over and picking up, just, you know, whether it's shards of glass or, you know, a trailer load of old tires that are rotten and falling apart, no matter how much trash I pick up out here, it's nothing compared to what's rolling out of the Walmart down the street every hour.
Wow.
And, and I realized that my mission, out here is not to pick up trash. It's not to plant trees. It's not to build sustainable housing. It's not to do any of those things. It's to create a movement. And I have to have a lot of trust and a lot of, I guess, faith is the best word we have for it, because I don't know how it's going to come together. But I have to take the next step. And it's terrifying, because there's so much at stake for all of us in the world. Just yesterday I was reading about some of the conditions in Antarctica and what that's going to do to sea level rise, and I'm terrified for the world. Yet at the same time, I'm also terribly hopeful for us as well. And I think that hope comes from action, when we're actually doing the work, that we begin to see that we are part of the miraculous, and that we're experiencing the miraculous constantly, and that we shut ourselves off to it. And I think that's one of the things that nature gives us, is it gives us, it springs hope for us. I'm looking out the window right now as I'm speaking to you, for instance, and there's this tree out there. And this tree has loaded with these nuts. And inside of each one of those nuts, I know there's 8 seeds. And inside of each one of those seeds is another tree. And there are literally thousands of nuts on this tree, with 8 seeds inside of each one of the nuts. So there's at least 80,000 trees of potential right outside my window here. And it's one tree. And that tree is going to produce that many nuts every year. And nature is prepared to recover. Nature is planning to recover, and we're a part of that. We are ambassadors of that miraculous, of the miraculous of experience of life, and we need to start acting upon it. I hope that answers your question a little bit.
Oh, in so many beautiful ways, Jim. Actually, it's inspiring. And so is that part of what the movement is?
The movement. So when we're talking about exponential reach, when I'm trying to take on the Walmart consumption down the street that I spoke of, I've been conditioned to think that I don't matter, okay? As have we all. And I taught in public schools for 21 years as a high school teacher. And I tried to change the system. I tried to reform the system as much as I could. I ran into the reality that I couldn't even get a salad bar going, where the kids would learn to grow the vegetables and learn how to serve them and eat fresh vegetables, because there was a Cisco contract that the school district had.
Jim, I think we lost you there.
I'm sorry.
Hello?
I'm sorry.
You there?
Yes.
Okay. So you were telling us about the salad bar that couldn't happen.
The salad bar that couldn't happen in the school system. Yeah. And so I've kind of, in a sense, given up hope on our current systems. I remember, and this might sound a little bit strange, but and I hope I'm not going too far off the rails on this, but I remember one of this, we would teach a segment from a story about the sinking of the Titanic. And that was a big hit, of course, because at the time the film had come out. And everybody was aware of what happened with the Titanic. And I remember thinking while teaching about the Titanic and all the series of calamities that occurred to in that tragedy. And it's such an amazing metaphor for where we are with our Earth. I like to think of what Buckminster Fuller used to say, that we're on a spaceship here, that our Earth is a spaceship. So we're on a ship, and the ship is we're hitting a human-caused iceberg, and we're taking on water. An unimaginable amount of water is sinking the ship. And I remember thinking about the Titanic, and I hope that my English teacher extended metaphor doesn't drive everybody crazy, but I remember thinking, if I was on the bridge when we first struck that iceberg, and if I had a flash forward of what reality was going to be within a couple hours, what could I do if I was on the bridge to stop the inevitable? Right? Was there anything I could do? Was there anything in my human power to overcome the forces of nature that were already set against us? And I remember this strange thought occurring to me that was very, very counterintuitive. And I'd never really seen any, I Googled this to see if anybody else had thought this thought.
And I'm curious.
So you remember how the front compartments were damaged? It was the first floor into the fifth compartment that were damaged. And it was taking on water and it was going down by the head, and the water was going to lap over the bulkheads. Everybody remembers that, right?
From the film, I do, yeah.
Yeah, and so I remember coming to the realization of how ballast pumps work in a boat, and how you, when you start to lose your balance in a boat, there's large ships will have pumps that will push water to the opposite side of the boat to maintain its balance.
Ah.
And I remember thinking, well, would ballast pumps work if we were to take that water from the front compartments and shove them to the back compartments? Because remember, there were some, I think, 16 watertight compartments. They weren't so watertight, but they called them watertight compartments, right? But then I realized, well, the pumps weren't strong enough. So what if you could stop the Titanic from sinking by sinking it? That's the counterintuitive.
Okay, now that's going to need explanation.
Okay, so if it's going down by the front and it's going to be a gigantic teeter-totter with all this weight, you know, each gallon is 8.5 pounds, right? And you have thousands of gallons of pouring into the front of the Titanic. What if you immediately, again, I'm on the bridge of the Titanic in this pivotal moment of history, right? What if I threw the engines into reverse and slammed the back of the ship into the same iceberg and sunk the back of the ship simultaneously with the front of the ship? See, the ship floats on what's called displacement, right? The water, even though the steel weighs a lot, it's displacing more water weight than the weight of the ship, right? And most of that displacement takes place in the center of the ship, at what's called the beam of the ship, the center point, right? The ship's actually really narrow at the front, you know, for hydrodynamics. That's narrow at the back. It tapers back in its back in the very back of the ship, right? And so if you could keep those small compartments balanced, the front and the back, yes, the boat would lower itself, but the more it lowers itself, the more water it displaces. So the trick is keeping it balanced as it sinks, and then it might not sink completely. Does that make sense?
It might float, in other words. Wow.
It might float. Yeah.
Or so it might sink slower, ironically, from what I'm gathering you're saying, too.
Yes, it would sink lower, but not sink completely.
Wow. Wow. You know, we're coming up on a break, but now I'm curious as to how that applies to the land and our world. And if you could wrap that up for us when we come back. And also, what I think we're learning, like you're bringing awareness, your consciousness, Jim, around this subject and the intention and all of that is, I mean, I feel it. It's palpable. And that's the good news is you sound like you're not only going to succeed with this, you're going to thrive with it, and other people can learn from it and get from your energy, your enthusiasm, and learn like what we shared in the title, innovation, inspiration, and sustainability. So if you're wanting to learn more, eventually Jim's going to get around, or somebody can write a blog for him that he's going to post up on his website. But the website's up, and it's EcoShire Sage, ECO Shire, which is SHIRE, and Sage, SAGE, EcoShireSage.com to learn more. And we're going to check back in with Jim in just a little minute to wrap this up and figure out what can be done. Sinking planet Earth somehow doesn't sound right, but he's gonna help us with that. Then in our next segment, we're going to have our Ask Dorothy segment, and a little later on, music with our musical guest, I Am Natrell, all on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition right now.
The Little Dog That Could is the fantastically true story of a man and the little dog that came into his life as his mentor to help him understand the world beyond his human senses and to experience life, love, and healing beyond his human understanding. Best-selling author Filippo Voltaggio, who currently hosts the highly regarded Life Changes show, is an internationally known singer, speaker, and life coach. Filippo offers up his own story, how one little surprise package in fur and four legs transformed his life unexpectedly forever and furthered his path of self-discovery. In The Little Dog That Could, Filippo brings to life the meaning of the adage, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. Through the reading of this book, you will experience the journey of real miracles that transcend time, space, and logic while gaining practical tools that will help you navigate your way. The Little Dog That Could is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble. For more information, visit thelittledogthatcould.com. That's thelittledogthatcould.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Vortex Dome LA, with your host, Filippo Voltaggio. You can visit us online at lifechangesshow.com, via Twitter Life Changes Show, and Facebook at the Life Changes Show.
We're back. I am Filippo, and our guest is educator and ecopreneur, land steward of down-to-earth EcoShire, and builder of intentional community, Jim Reiser. Jim, you have certainly shared philosophically. You are deep. And you're in the right place, because I feel like nature is going to be feeding that, and you're going to hopefully be feeding it to us as we check in the process. You know, there are a lot of people, not a lot, actually, there are not a lot of people that have done this, but there are people that have and are on the other side of it. So it's interesting to check in with you while you're pretty much right in the middle of it in a big way. Mm-hmm. So help us with saving the people on the Titanic, ergo.
So I want to wrap that thought up, because I do want to apologize for my history.
No, it's okay. No, I get it.
In this metaphor, it has a lesson for us, and that in order to find balance, we're going to have to sink some things in our own lives that have brought us to this. Okay, to find a new balance. in our relationships to ourselves, to each other, and to the earth, and all the creatures in it. We're going to have to do a little bit of triage here. And there, I'm sorry?
No.
Oh, so no sustainable community is going to stand a chance against an imperial capitalistic society, if you will, for lack of a better term. And it's not that I'm not a capitalist. It's not that I don't appreciate the benefits of those things, but they're... But our culture is the culprit. Everything else is a symptom of the illness, of our cultural illness, of constant expansion, constant exploitation, and we're going to have to sink that part of our culture, I think, in order to find balance back with the earth, because there have been all sorts of sustainable communities in the past. I'm talking about First Nation peoples that have lived in balance with their ecosystems for thousands of years. And a lot of people are looking for a technological fix. You know, we could, they'll say things like, you know, if we could just shift to a green economy, if we could just have more solar panels, more wind turbines. And the more you look into that, you go, well, first of all, we can't build a solar civilization from a solar civilization. We can't produce solar panels with solar panels. We need fossil fuels to do that. And so in looking for that technological, magical, silver technological bullet to solve our imbalances, I don't think we're going to find it. I don't think that holy technological grail is out there. I think that that we're going to have to look back into our ancestors, the tribes that were here before we were here, and try to learn from them. And hopefully, I mean, I love technology. I love having refrigeration and things like that. I don't want to lose everything that we have. But I also recognize that we need to remember some of the things that we've lost. And so so our mission out here is yes, we plant trees. Yes, we're cleaning up trash. Yes, we're working with water repurposing and recycling and all sorts of things, every aspect of community building that we can. But really, if we can't influence others, then this is all for naught. It's it's just another deck chair on the Titanic.
Oh, wow. Head back to the Titanic. Yeah, I hear you. And so thank you for doing what you're doing and then sharing what you're doing. I'm trusting that I've seen some pictures, so I'm trusting that on the website, I'm trusting that there's some documenting that's going on around this, even though it's hard to do the work and then think about filming it and capturing it as well. And I have to think, Jim, since you're so philosophical, would you have gone to this, to what you just landed on in sharing with us, if the land already had a zip line and a pool and all of that?
No. No, most definitely. The journey you know, I've done theater before, and I've played the bad guy, you know. And I've done it well. Enough to where I've scared the other actors on stage, and then you, and okay. And the audience goes, "Oh!" And you get backstage behind the curtain, and the good guy and the bad guy are back behind the curtain, and they both hug each other, and they go, "That was great." And I have this, I guess, esoteric belief that we've put ourselves into this predicament to test our divinity. And that we need to remember who we are. We are currently forgetting who we are, and we are laying our home to waste. And if we could just remember who we are, we can do amazing, amazing things. But we can't just continue on doing what we've been doing. It's insanity, literally. And I don't know if we can find a technology that's going to save us and allow us to continue on with our imbalances, is my point.
Jim, thank you for doing what you're doing, and thank you for that dream and the inspiration that you are sharing while fulfilling that dream for yourself and for others, and potentially connecting with all the people that are doing similar around the world. May there be more than we know, and maybe someday we'll learn of them too. In the meantime, it'd be great to check in with you every once in a while and potentially be more connected to what is happening, especially with your way of sharing and educating from your experience and from your drama background. You bring it all. You bring it all. So
all
if you're
it,
wanting
yes.
to, what's that?
Yeah, bring all of it.
You're bringing it all. So with that, EcoShireSage.com, if you want to learn more about Jim, if you want to learn more about Down to Earth, EcoShire, it feels so important, and I know it is. So Eco, E-C-O, Shire, S-H-I-R-E, and Sage, S-A-G-E.com, EcoShireSage.com. Jim, what an absolute pleasure. I look forward to meeting you. You're not that far away from us, and I know other people have been coming out and camping on the land, and it's becoming popular in many ways. So you're doing something right. I wanted to ask you actually real quick. You mentioned the ancients and the original tribes. Is this land that was occupied by American Indian before?
It certainly was. They didn't live it, they found it. But that, yes, there. It turns out that that there's a very old ceremony site within a quarter mile of our property where rites of passage took place for the local tribes.
Wow,
that is very, very old, and the pictographs are still on the stones around our property.
Wow, mm-hmm. Fascinating. Wow, there's so much to this story, so rich, and thank you for teasing it with for us here today, and I trust there'll be lots more. Jim, all the best to you and your work. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Dylan.
Jim Reiser. Wow, okay. And with that, we have our Ask Dorothy segment.
Dear Dorothy, this is Susan, and I met you years ago when my mother was a client. You shared with us so many truths, and I am grateful for your wisdom, which has helped me so much over the years. My question has to do with my wonderful husband. He loves me, and I love him, and yet I'm not sure that I'm in love with him. We were together for 11 years and finally got married 6 months ago, and now I am wondering if I made the right choice. It feels like things have changed since I said I do. I'm no longer as happy as I was when we were just a couple and not a married couple. What's wrong with me?
Dear Susan, this is such an important question and one that so many people are trying to find the answer to. Your real question here appears to be, what does in love mean? And that is truly a great question with multiple answers. So I need to ask, if you were in love with your husband before you married him, or if you just loved him, I love you and your mother, but am not in love with either of you. I thought I was in love each time I married the same man. Now I know that I never was in love with him. I believe that being in love was what I experienced with my parents' example. And the truth is that they never really liked each other, much less were ever in love with one another. We often learn about love and marriage from our parents' examples, and this is just not always a good place for us to go. The best place for us to go is within and ask ourselves what being in love really is and means. The internet can provide you with some good examples, and I highly recommend the website marriage.com as a good place to begin. They define love as: love is pain and sacrifice. Love is compromise and respect. Love is the most beautiful and real thing in this world, and when reciprocated, can make you feel things you never knew existed. I agree with this definition and believe it is a great start in understanding what love is. And now you must define for yourself what love means to you. So please, dear Susan, take some time to discern what love is and what being in love means. It could be a really good idea for you to do some automatic writing on this, and this simply means to sit down and use your pen and paper or use your computer and write down the questions. What does love mean? And what does being in love mean? And then spontaneously writing what flows through you. With your research and your self-reflection, I trust you will find the answers you seek.
Thank you, Dorothy. And if you have a question for Dorothy, please write her at askdorothy@lifechangesshow.com.
We'll be right back with our musical guest, I Am Natrell, right after this on the Life Changes Show at Home Edition.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@LifeChangesNetwork.com.
Hello, Natrell.
Hey, how are you, sir?
I'm great, thank you. And so we are getting ready to go live here. Our producer and co-host, Mark Leger, will count us in. Just wanted to make sure you were all set to go. I heard you better when we were talking before. Let's hear. Maybe I haven't heard you enough. Let's hear you.
Hello.
Okay.
For some reason... then I think this is like more like a on speakerphone than the other one. When you called me earlier, for some reason, it's a little bit different. I don't know why.
You mean your phone answered instead of your computer?
Yeah, my phone answered both times, but this time it just answered different. It answered like before, it was like a regular phone call. To this phone call is more like a
Skype.
It's more like we're on video but without seeing each other.
Oh, okay. It maybe is the video on? Maybe you can make sure the video's off.
Let's see. It says video's off.
Okay. Well, yeah, you sounded better just then. So let's go.
Okay.
Yeah. So let's do it.
Okay, I'll just speak close.
Okay. Very good.
Natrell, welcome to the Life Changes Show, and we are live in 5, 4, 3, 2.
We're back, and our musical guest is, a singer, a songwriter, a producer, an engineer, and a very smart man. I can't wait for him to share some of his wisdom with us. He is I Am Natrell, a.k.a. Natrell.com. Welcome, Natrell, to the Life Changes Show.
Hey, thank you guys so much for having me. Appreciate it.
Oh, it's our pleasure. And I so enjoyed our conversation around so many different things. Interestingly enough, one of the phrases that really stuck with me when we were talking about you having children and all that, and you said, I absolutely love being a father. And that just stuck with me. Like, you know who you are in that role, and you're doing it the best you can, and you take it very seriously. Can I just say that?
Absolutely. I love my kids.
And then you added your team to it, like your the children's mom, right?
Yeah, we have a really good co-parenting situation. You know, a lot of people, when you think of, they use the phrase baby mama, baby daddy. You know what I'm saying? It's always a negative connotation to it. But my relationship with the mother of my kids isn't that type of situation. It's positive. We communicate. We consult with each other before making decisions in regards to our kids, you know. And we don't allow our personal feelings towards each other to affect anything dealing with the kids.
Natrell, it's so wonderful to hear, and I think a great place to start, because your music as well, it's fun. It could be fun dance music and all that, and it can also be storytelling where you have a message to share. So I'm feeling like you're bringing out your your messages. Some hard stuff.
Yeah, I think music itself should be a reflection of life. Me and you talked about using cuss words and songs and why some people do it and some people don't. My music is a direct reflection of how I feel. And I use the example of if you touch a hot stove,
right,
you don't say, ouch, that hurt. You know, you have other, you know, choice words that you may say very strongly and very loudly, you know. My music is a direct effect of that. I speak exactly how I would say it if it was a true life situation.
And speaking of true life situations, you've had some true life situations, and this first song is going to be a reflection of your experience. So guide us through really quickly from the success that you were having and then a particular experience which led to more.
So I went through like 3 really strong years where I built up my social media. I was doing a lot of shows. I had a radio show on a station out here in Las Vegas called Hot 702.5. I just had a lot of things going on, had a lot of followers, had a lot of friends, a lot of people around me. But what people see isn't always the reality of what's going on, because during that process, I was struggling. And my financial situation wasn't good and my mental situation wasn't good. And it affected me to the point where I had a stroke. I got really sick. I was sick. It pretty much took me out of being able to work for almost 8 to 9 months.
Wow.
Which made my financial situation better. And, you know, I called, you know, people that I helped, people that I looked out for, you know.
Wait, wait, wait. It made your financial situation better or worse?
Worse.
Oh, worse, worse. Okay.
Worse. Made my financial situation worse. And, you know, so I started reaching out to people that I helped, people that actually owed me money to help me out with some of the things that I had pressing on me. And we went through, you know, a tough period. I went through a period of time where, you know, we didn't have electricity in our home. And, you know, I have kids and, you know, a lot of individuals that I felt like were in position to look out for me that I looked out for previously, you mm-hmm. know, they just kind of, you know, close their eyes and act like I didn't exist, you know? Mm. So during that process, I learned some very valuable lessons. And I'm not going to go all the way into detail, but I learned in that process of me being on my back and being on my phone, I learned how to make money on my back, you know? And I went through a period where I made a large lump sum of money. And once I got to the position where I was able to you know, work again, I opened up a studio, have my own radio station called BU Radio Network. And a lot of those people that counted me out then started flocking back around me, you know? But this time it was with stipulations because I can forgive, but I can't forget. I can forgive the people that didn't look out for me, but I can't forget the fact that they didn't. So the next time when, you know, I'm going to be a little bit slow to help the individuals who wasn't willing to help me.
Well, you've written a song that we're going to hear in just a moment about that experience, and it's called Notice, as if what you're putting people on notice, or is that for you to notice? What does that mean?
As it's putting all of them on notice that I'm coming back. When they counted me out, and now the countdown is getting ready to wake them up. The countdown is an alarm clock now.
So before we hear the song, real quickly, since you shared this story, you released the song, and then what happened?
After I released the song, a lot of those individuals started calling me. It was like, "Hey, I heard the song, man. I feel like you bringing personal stuff to your music and this and that, and I feel like that song was about me." And I, you know, my response to them was, no, the song was about me. It's my personal experience that just happened to be negative, and you just happened to be involved with it. I didn't mention no names. I didn't call nobody out. I just told the story about my personal experience. So if somebody else just happened to be there and be present and experience that situation with me, I can't stop that. But my life is my life.
Well, we're going to get to hear that song here on the Life Changes Show. Here is I Am Natrell and Notice.
My grind again.
I keep a small circle.
I'm not trying to find a friend.
Don't
pretend.
I was sick.
Haters wasn't messing with me. Haters wouldn't come and get me. Got myself up off the ground.
I'm not stopping now. Got them wondering how.
How did I do it? Back on my music. I should be losing. Created confusion. Find it amusing.
It's an illusion.
Me and DT still flex. They tried to turn him, but he wouldn't let him. I dusted my shoulders and didn't sweat
it. These haters don't know this. Leaving them open. Me
alarm, it's our time now. If you don't know, you gon' find out. I'm putting it all on the line now. It's all by design now. Rivals be sinking like quicksand. Me and my team making hits, man. All of our business legit, we go the distance. I've been working hard daily, the Lord is my witness. Me and Jay Breezy, we all about business. Can't stand it here, get the hell out the kitchen. Never gon' stop till I finish my mission. I'm in position, hit every mark and I shoot with precision. I got that spark in my music, just listen. I never lose, winning is my addiction, yeah. I'll never tap out, I'll never back down, even when I'm in doubt. I am never scared, I'll always stay prepared. Sometimes I feel unstoppable, the victory's declared. And I'll never forget exactly where I came from. They kicked me while I was down, that's where the pain from. When I asked them for help, I watched them play dumb. Keep on playing.
I'm putting these haters on notice.
I put them on notice. Leaving them open, yeah. Focus. Don't worry about who is the dopest, yeah.
This is our moment.
This is our moment. Now, oh, I know this.
I am Natrell with Notice. Thank you.
So that's
obviously pre-recorded and produced by you as well, right?
Yes, sir.
Are you the background vocals? You're everything, right?
Everything.
So learn more about and connect with his music at Natrell, Natrell.com. And he's I Am Natrell on Instagram and Facebook. We've got a YouTube video up of Notice, which did you produce the whole video too?
I was a part of the production.
Okay.
The good thing about the video was everybody that was in that video was a part of the process. Those were the individuals that helped me, including the videographer. The videographer was
a
longtime friend, and he was one of the individuals that looked out for me to the point where that video, and he doesn't do this. He shot that video for free because he knew what I went through.
Wow. Yeah.
He was like, look, bro, you ain't got to pay me for this one. Like, I really want this story to be told. And, you know, I'm going to do this just off of the strength. So I want to send a shout out to Films by Sin for directing that video and editing and doing all of the groundwork for the video. Did an awesome job.
Excellent. Well, I'm glad you did that shout out. And I, the reason I'm making a big deal about how you engineer and you produce and all that, because you don't just do that for your music. You're doing it for your music that goes on to shows like The Real Housewives of Atlanta, Love and Hip Hop, Nickelodeon's Kids, Choice Awards, BETs. I mean, the list kind of goes on, and then for other singers as well. So this is definitely your thing.
Yeah. Secretly, I kind of love that side of it better.
Ah, really?
I always tell people that in the studio, when you're in the studio by yourself, you can be whoever you want to be at the moment. I crack jokes with some of the artists that I write for or that I produce for, and I tell them, hey, whatever the song is about, there's somebody in my head telling me what to write. There's somebody in my head telling me, you know, it's just a joke, but you know, whatever that song is, like, I try to go to that place, and it's almost like a movie. I see it as the words are forming. I see the video. I see how it's supposed to look. I see how people are supposed to feel. And I put all of the magic behind that.
Nice. Well, there's magic and there's fun, and we're gonna get to hear a fun song now. You were telling me how that was like a story song, like a testimony, and this is a club anthem, right?
Oh yeah.
All right. Well, here is Jealous by I Am Natrell, produced and recorded by him, et cetera. Live, well, pre-recorded, I guess, on the Life Changes Show.
Walking, superstar paparazzi start flocking. As the beat starts knocking, shorty hit the dance floor, start dropping. She's truly independent, she's grinding and she's winning. The other girls pretending, not stopping till she finishes. The room when she enters, everyone's attention, she is the center. Fellas double take when they see her, watch her transform as the beat hits the speaker. Shawty ain't no average chick, unless you come in with those bands, no she's not having it, no.
Everybody in the club stop and stare. Them thick thighs and that Ric Flair. Please remind them as you're walking over here. Just pop it and lock it, then drop it, don't stop it. You the hot topic, they know you got options. They jealous, it's toxic, they harmless, no caution.
Just do it, don't do it, do it.
Clap for me, mommy, clap, clap for me, mommy. Make it boom, back for me, mommy. Frame on time, hourglass type of body with an apple bottom. She don't need jeans for it only. Shake what your mama gave you. Shake, shake, take it all, mommy make good. Take, take, look at they faces, the wrinkles, they stress and rebellious. No, they jealous.
Why they so mad though?
I am Natrell. Awesome, Natrell. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
So much fun. So iamnatrell.com. Natrell is N-A-T-R-E-L-L. And you can find him on Instagram and Facebook and actually even more places. Just look for I Am Natrell. What a pleasure to get to know you and talk to you. And I hope to get to meet you and Well, I was going to say maybe see you perform, but you did say secretly, you know, we're on radio. So you're not so secretly, you'd rather be producing. But so
yeah.
I wish you all the best.
Mm-hmm. And I wish you the best. And I appreciate the opportunity.
Yeah, it is our pleasure. Our pleasure. All the best to you, Natrell. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And a big thank you again to our guest, Jim Reiser. And that is our show. On behalf of our executive producer, Dorothy Lee Donahue, and our producer and co-host, Mark Leger, I am your host, Filippo Voltaggio, reminding you, as your life changes like ours surely did today, we're here for you. Ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.